decision around killing unborn babies. Father, we ask that you just be with us today, that you let us speak to our hearts through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We've been dealing in this chapter. Romans chapter 8. And verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So we began to look at how do we walk in the Spirit? How do we do it successfully? I used to watch my dad walk on the top of the walls. We'd build a house and put the floor joist on if there's no wood downstairs like a wall. But anyway, so I'd watch him walk on the cement walls, and so that'd be an 8-inch wide wall, and you know, up 8 feet off the ground, and I'd watch him do that, and then we would put floor joists across, and then sometimes you have to walk on a beam down the center of the house, and that's a little wider. Sometimes it's 3 or 4 2x10s, 2x12s put together, but then we'd start the walls, and back then they didn't have the wider walls for insulation; they were 2x4s, and so I'd watch my dad walk carefully. You're 8 feet up, and then if you have a walkout, you're 16 feet up plus a little bit. So I'd watch him walk those walls carefully. So it's amazing, isn't it? You can walk on the ground, on the floor in here, and you might not have to worry about your balance. But the higher you get, in fact, if you were walking on something 2 feet, you could probably scurry along because it wouldn't really bother you. But you get 8 feet high or 16 feet high. The taller it is, the more careful we have to walk. And I appreciate so much all the help this week on the roof. And so yesterday everybody was gone, and so the eave troughs, the gutters, I didn't have a chance to clear out. There was pieces of tar paper and shingles and nails in it. And so I got this grand idea that I was going to use my wet and dry shop vac, to suction out all that stuff out of the eaves. And so I started in the back. And so some of the guys asked yesterday or this week what pitch we're working on there. It's a 512. The church here is 412. That's for every 12 inches you rise 4 inches. In our house, for every 12 inches, you rise 5 inches. But there are a lot of newer homes that are 8, 12, 10, 12, 12, 12. So for every 12 inches, it'd be 12 inches high. So it's a 45-degree angle, and that's much harder to walk up that without some boards to help you if you fall. But so I got up there with a shop vac, and the funny thing is, you know, it isn't that hard to carry around down on the ground, but when you're trying to stand straight on an incline and the vacuum, the weight of the vacuum wants to keep pushing on me, so then I'm in spots there, I'm 16 feet off the ground, and depending on how high up you are on the roof, I decided that, you know, after about halfway through the back or maybe a little more, that was a little more than I wanted to wrestle. It was like the vacuum cleaner wanted to keep pushing me off the roof, or that's the way I felt, you know. And so do you ever feel that way in life, that there are just forces against you trying to hinder your walk, trying to push you off? So what we find is the more pressures, the more careful we have to be. You know, I was up there, and it doesn't matter, you know, if you're high, you have to walk more careful because there's the fall factor. And then, so that'd be just walking on a flat 16 feet off the ground, but now you get a slope, and then you get something pushing against you, And then also I was having to drag the extension cord with me so it didn't fall down. And so it's like things are pulling me this way and pushing me that way. And that's, it's so much like life. That's why it's so refreshing. When we was up on the roof, we got mentioned just how wonderful it is if you get to work with Christians. On our building crew, we used to be able to work with all Christians, at least most of the time. And so that was a great blessing. So it's a good fellowship. But so you don't have so much pushing and pulling. You have, if you have any pulling, just pulling together to get done. When I started Tuesday, I started and got not quite half of the roof backside tore off, and then I got down to what they call ice and water shield, and it's like it's tar and it's sticky and it like melted right into the plywood. And so I'm thinking, how many days do I have to get this done? And then Brother Tim mentioned something to me Wednesday night, and so that kind of got things rolling. And I was just so thankful for the Lord's blessing that the roof was done yesterday before the rains came. So, and we didn't have to put any buckets around, you know, catching drops yesterday. So, Lord willing, that's a good thing, that it's waterproof. So, appreciate so much the help, and it just reminds me so much of our walk, how there are so many forces against us. If you hold your place here, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Have any of you ever visited a place, I think it's in the UP, called Mystery Spot? Yeah. There's a lot of optical illusions there. It's like, it looks like you're, well, it's been a lot of years, but maybe some of you can refresh my memory, but it looks like you're like should be walking uphill or downhill, whichever, or maybe even level, and just the way things are built, you think it's one way and it's the other. Well, that reminds me of Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil what? Good. And good what?
Evil.
That's what they're doing with abortion. Can you believe? It's hard to imagine that in America there would ever be a cry by our highest leaders down to the lowest to slaughter babies. I mean, did you ever think that would be possible in America? I mean, so the Supreme Court makes a halfway decision, you know, okay, well, it's not federally mandated. Throw it back to the states. You make the decision. God's already made the decision. That's evil. It's murder. But verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I was out there one evening trying to shingle a little late, and so I had my headlamp on, but just the color of the shingles, trying to line them up, I couldn't do that long. I think about 9 o'clock that night, I just had to stop because this kind of grayish blend, and it's just too hard to see. Maybe it's just my eyesight at my age too, but we are living in a day where our leaders and a lot of people are trying to put it out there that light is dark and dark is light. And it's like some people, if we're not in the Word of God, it's like some people, you know, they're getting swayed, carried away. It's, you know, why would any professing Christian ever vote for someone who wants to slaughter babies? But it's sad what's going on. But so Isaiah 5:20. So how do we walk? How do we walk? There was a man, professing Christian man. I know nothing about him other than that. But he walked across the Niagara Falls. He had a hard time talking Canada and America into letting him do that. And the only way they would let him do it is if he had a tether on him so that if he did fall off the cable, that it would hold him up there, that he wouldn't fall to his death. He didn't want that, but, you know, it's kind of like when Satan put Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple and then told him to cast himself down. I mean, I don't know why a professing Christian would ever want to walk a cable across something like that. It's just needlessly risking a person's life. But how do we walk? I mean, I watched my dad walk those walls. And, you know, to him, it was every step has to be sure. And but I can recall once as a young man, I was up there doing that, walking the wall, and I lost my balance. And so I went down and I caught the wall with my arm, but scraped up my side, you know, coming to a stop there. How do we walk sure in life? With something, notice with me in Genesis 17, it's something that we just have to always be careful of. In Genesis 17, verse 1, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. And then what? Walk before me and what?
Be thou perfect."
So it's not something that wherever, you know, there are denominations and things that teach that you can arrive at sinless perfection. Well, notice with me in 1 John, that is absolutely not true. In this life, we are never going to be perfect. Yes, we should strive to be, but we are never going to be. We're never going to be able to say, I finally arrived. I no longer sin. Nope. 1 John chapter 1. And let's start in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and what?
Walk in darkness.
We lie and do not the truth. So remember Isaiah 5:20. There are going to be people that are going to come along and call light darkness and dark lights. We're living in a day like that. So we must not walk in darkness. Verse 7, but if we what?
Walk
in the light as he is in the light. So he is our pattern. That was another thing in building. When we would do something, we would cut one board and write on it. We'd use it like P-A-T, pattern, and use that for everything else. It's kind of like you ladies who sew. You know, you don't... if you have several pieces the same size, you don't cut one piece of fabric and then put the piece you cut on another one and then cut and then put that piece, because you get further and further off. You need a pattern. So he's the pattern. God's the pattern. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what?
Fellowship
one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So our walk, the way that we successfully walk in life without slipping, is that the Lord has to be the pattern, not other people. We thank the Lord for godly examples, but we got to keep looking to the Lord, as we'll see here in just a minute. So in verse 8 it says, if we say that we have what?
No
sin, we what?
Deceive
ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if we get to a point where we can say, I can go up there and walk that wall. I don't care if it's 8 feet, 16 feet, 32 feet, 48 feet. No problem with me. Yeah, that's dangerous. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's like with Abraham. God told him at 99. I mean, can you imagine saying to your grandpa, Grandpa, you better mind. You better straighten up. Can you imagine saying that to somebody? But that's what God came to Abraham basically. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Abraham, remember. I mean, Abraham was going to live to be another 76 years. He died at 175. So at 99, he still had 76 years left to go. Before Sandy's mom passed away, every once in a while I would think about, wow, I don't know, I think she's 30-some years older than me. And I can't remember offhand, but anyway, I often thought, wow, living that many more years, can't imagine it. But she went to be the Lord at 98. So, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is what?
Faithful
and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the fact of the matter is in our walk through life, there are pressures. There are different situations we've got to account for and be willing to draw nigh to him. When I went up on the roof in the mornings, the dew was heavy. And so I went up in my work shoes, my regular work shoes, which have kind of lugs on the bottom, they're tread. And I seemed to stick okay. But the next morning, so I went up in some, well, they're like my old dress shoes, totally flat. And it's like, whoa, it was slippery up there. So I have to adjust. So when we think about walking with God and we get our shoes dirty, it's like Jesus washing Peter's feet. Oh, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. We need our feet washed. That's a picture. We need cleansing. So he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then once again, verse 10, if we say that we, what?
Have not sinned,
we make him, what?
A liar,
and his word is not in us. Now, is God a liar? No. It's us. If we say we haven't sinned, we make him a liar. So then you have the opposite. Then people say, well, it doesn't matter how I walk because I'm going to fail anyway. No, that's why chapter 2 gets focused back on the pattern on the Lord. Chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye what?
Sin not.
The pattern is Christ. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we what? Keep his commandments. And then on it goes down through there. So if we go back to Romans chapter 8 then. So there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So how do we walk in the Spirit though? How do we face these pressures? Well, one thing is prayer. Notice in Matthew 26, prayer. We can't get to the point where we think, oh, I can handle this. This is no problem. In Matthew 26, in verse 41. Well, actually, to get the context, let's back up here. In verse 38, Matthew 26, 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them what?
Asleep.
And saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me what?
1 hour.
Have you ever tried to pray for 1 hour and fell asleep? Well, I couldn't count the times that I've done that. I've fallen asleep while I've been praying. Many, many, many times. So I don't know about you, but I can associate with Peter. He was sleepy. He was tired. But what does he tell him to do, verse 41? Watch and what? pray that ye enter not into what?
Temptation.
The spirit indeed is willing, but the what?
Flesh is weak.
So it's like back to Abraham in Genesis 17:1. I don't care if we're 9 or 99. We need to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation, because Satan is going to try to tilt the ground on us. Whether you're on the job site and some foul-mouthed people come along. I was telling you this last Wednesday night that I didn't plan on helping the crew unload the shingles on the roof. I was just going to let them do it. But they got there, and one of the two of the crew was a girl. And I thought, I can't be busy about my work and know that there's some girl lugging shingles. I don't even know how much a bundle of shingles weighs, but they're not light. And so I can't do that. And, you know, I said something to them, and that they kind of worked together. It was I'd say the guy was probably in his 50s, but that girl and that guy often worked together, and so we were all talking about the Lord. But so I just said, well, you probably don't want to go on another crew. I says, you know, they're probably foul-mouthed, and so they assured me that there were some foul-mouthed people, and they're everywhere, aren't they? There are. And so, but the ground, that's it. You know, you get around the world, and they're going to try to slant it, you know, and it's like, you know, push you off, get you off your spiritual plane. So to walk, how do we walk in such pressures? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. So a big factor is prayer in our lives. If you look at Luke chapter 18, and we have to watch it. You know, we could say, I mean, we can be like Peter. We could say, oh, Lord, you don't have to worry about me. You know, Peter, has said it there that, you know, all the disciples, you know, may be offended, but not me. That was the gist of it. And in the end, they all said that they would never be offended. Well, they all were offended. And so it reminds us in this day and age, I mean, just some, have you ever said, I don't know how things could get any worse? And then you found out things can always get a lot worse. Well, in Luke 18, you know, as the coming of the Lord draws nigh, there's going to be a lot of people fainting. And on the roof this week, it was hot. And it was like, you know, you could, you know, if you went an hour up there on some of those hot times, it was like, you know, you were just depleted. You needed something to drink. It was so hot. In fact, I think it was the second day I broke out my Haiti hat. When we went to Haiti, Brother Wallace said, bring a hat, because he says the sun down here is intense. And he said, you need something to shade your head. So I bought one of those safari hats, you know, the vented up here, but a wide brim, give you a little shade. So needed protection. But as the coming of the Lord draws nigh, it's going to be easy to faint unless we pray. In Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to what? To pray, and not what? To faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there's a lot of people that don't fear God today, and they don't regard man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry what? Day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what?
Faith on the
earth. So when we stop praying, really it's a faith problem. If we say, oh, what's the use? What we are really saying is we don't have any confidence that God's going to answer our prayer, so we just don't pray. That's going to be the setting, the way it is when the Lord returns. There's going to be a lot of people that say, what's the use? I mean, just look at us on the politically in our country. You could say, what's the use? You know, they're trying to take everybody's guns away. They're trying to destroy our businesses. They're trying to take away our vehicles. They want us all to go to electric cars. They're trying to cut off the fossil fuels. And yet the electric company comes out and says, and I think it was in California, they said, the electric company said, there's no way that we can charge everybody's cars. We don't. The power grid's not big enough to do that. There was two reporters that tested out an electric car, did like a cross-country thing, and when they got done, the one reporter said, gasoline fumes never smelled sweeter, or something like that. She was so tired of trying to find a charging station, and she was so tired of finding out that the charging stations way overrated the time that it would take to charge your car. It took much longer than that. And so they were stuck here and there. And she decided gas smelled really sweet after that, just to be able to have a gas car where you could go and find fuel and so on. But spiritually speaking, I mean, we could look at all these things and say, well, America is being destroyed. What's the use? Well, I noticed with me in Luke 1, we'll have to close here, but Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 37. That's the thing about prayer. Luke 1, 37. For with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. So, you know, while a lot of people are always looking to the next election, well, that election went bad, or that election was filled with fraud, so I can't wait till 2 years go by and at least we can fix some of the problem, and then another four, hopefully, and another problem, the rest of the problem. You know what? The whole problem could be fixed that quick if all those people would get saved, and that's why we're praying for an awakening, a revival. My hope is not the next election. My hope is in God. I don't trust the voting machines anyway anymore after the last fiasco. So, but my trust is in God. I do trust him. And so that's one thing. You know, when that man walked across that cable at Niagara Falls, I don't know if any of you saw it, either saw it or not, but can you guess what was in his hands as he walked that cable? A long stick. Why would you carry a long stick across there? To keep your balance. Keep you stable. And that's what he used. And, well, to keep our balance in life, we need this, don't we? We need to keep this. I know we can't always be holding it in our hands, but we can always have it in our hearts. And we need this to keep our balance today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we do want to walk successfully through life. We do want to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But Lord, we know that there are a lot of enemies against us who try to tilt the ground. There are forces that are pushing against us, the unsaved. And Father, we need your help. And we don't need any mystery spots, Lord, in life. We do need to know what is level and what isn't. And so, Lord, help us to be in your word. Help us to be in prayer. Help us not to faint. Lord, there's so many things that come along that can be so discouraging. But Lord, help us to have confidence in you, that for with God nothing shall be impossible. So Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless you.